The forced early closure of a power station at Yallourn in Victoria's Latrobe Valley has intensified the divisions between the energy sector and the federal government. Energy Australia says the plant's earlier than expected closure reflects the transition to renewable energy, but the federal government warns it'll hurt households. It comes amid international pressure for Australia to cut down on emissions after the European Parliament announced it'll raise taxes on imports from high-polluting countries. Catherine Gregory reports.
It's becoming a bit of a trend to ask, how do we manage the transition from coal to renewable energy? Still, Energy Australia's decision to close Victoria's oldest power plant, Yallourn, 4 years early by mid-2028, is a shock for its employees and the neighbouring community. Latrobe Council Mayor Sharon Gibson wants bipartisan assistance.
Work on how are we going to ensure that our community is not a basket case at the end of this.
But Energy Australia assures workers and government there will be new opportunities. It's building a 350-megawatt utility-scale battery by the end of 2026 to ensure energy storage as renewables enter the market, and points out this move is an inevitable part of a transition to cleaner energy. Kerry Schott, the chair of the Energy Security Board, says it's also more commercially viable.
So I've said before that more coal plants will close before their technical life is reached. And given the amount of renewables coming in and the increasing amount, those earlier closures become more likely.
But the federal government says households could end up paying more for less reliable electricity. Tony Wood from the Grattan Institute thinks a 7-year transition period should stop that and suggests the federal government could actually help out with a national framework that combines energy and climate policy.
Once the government puts in place its policy, then the industries or the investors can get on and deliver it at the lowest cost. So you turn an environmental problem into an economic challenge.
There's also mounting international pressure for the federal government to come up with a comprehensive emissions reduction plan after the European Union said it'll slap new tariffs on imports from countries like Australia which lack such a plan or are failing to reach the Paris Agreement objectives. It also threatens a free trade deal that Canberra has been trying to ratify with the European Union. Although not yet formalised, Mr Wood believes the announcement could be what Australia needs to make the change.
It then puts some incentive on countries like Australia or other countries that don't have a form of climate reduction policy to do so, because it doesn't make a lot of sense for our companies to be paying a tax to the Europeans. We'd be better off having the tax paid in Australia if we're going to have one.
But Deputy Prime Minister Michael McCormack dismisses suggestions Australia's not doing enough on climate policy.
Well, we have stepped up. We've got more rooftop solar per capita than anywhere else in the world. We lead the world as far as that. And we're making sure that we meet our international obligations. Said that all the way through, but what we'll do is we'll get to where we need to get as far as lowering emissions through technology, not through taxes.
He also points out Australia has bigger trade agreements beyond Europe. Data from the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade says Australia exported $11.7 billion worth of goods to EU countries last financial year. That's predominantly coal, gold, and other minerals and fuels. The Export Council of Australia's Arnold Hoyer says the carbon levy could negatively affect those industries.
That could potentially lead to a loss of about, $90 billion worth of exports.
He says the government needs to work with industry to prevent this happening.
In order for us to actually somehow price carbon ourselves, in line with the European approach. The thing is, it won't just be the Europeans. The US will follow, and potentially even China as well as Japan. In that context, ultimately, the global regime may actually impose something on us that we haven't actually planned for.
Arnold Hoyer, ending that report by Catherine Gregory.